It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. Once again, we're going to read from verse 6 through verse 15. And so open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We'll begin reading with the 6th verse. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website, if you would like to visit us there, is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that you've joined us today. Let's begin reading Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree was to be desirous to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard a voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said to them, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly, thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the precious word. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to come, that we may be together and study your precious word. Lord, please show us the truths of your word from cover to cover that help us to live each and every day. First of all, Lord, show us the way of salvation. Show us how to come to you by faith, that we may be saved and eternally kept by you, Lord, to walk with you, to enjoy your fellowship daily. Father, thank you so much that you not only save us when we turn to you and come to you, but you keep us. And Father, and it's everlasting life is just that. It starts the day we meet you, and it goes forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful work that you've performed. Thank you for giving us your book, your precious word. Please, Lord, do not let us abuse it by not reading it. Please don't let us take what we like and forget the rest. Help us, Father, to take every verse of Scripture that we may know you and walk with you very, very closely. We need to know your way and will, and that's how we learn, is to study your word. The leadership of the Holy Spirit will move our hearts and our minds and our lives towards you. Please, Lord, guide and lead us now as we surrender to your will. Speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were together, we spent the whole time, the whole program, back in Luke chapter 24. And the purpose of that was so that you could see that the pictures of the Lord Jesus, speaking clearly of the Lord Jesus, started clear back for the writings of Moses, which is here in Genesis, because as I said, the books of Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. And so also then it spoke in Luke chapter 24 concerning not only the what Moses has said, but also all the prophets. And so they spoke of me. And so when we study the Word of God, we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we spent the whole time, I really didn't think it would take quite that long, but it did. And so now that we have looked and could see that the Lord Jesus himself said, those writings are of me, we need to see where in this beautiful picture. Some are very clear, some are not so clear, but we need to find the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. And it's his word, and that's as clear as we can say it. Now, as we started this section of Scripture, and I went back to the verse 6 each time, and didn't know where else to really start and still get with the story of how the woman looked at the fruit. It was good to, pleasant to the eyes, would make one wise, and it was good for food, and so she took, and she ate of it, then she gave it to her husband. We've been through that. Their eyes were both opened. They, for the first time now, all of a sudden, so quickly, are separated from God. And as we look through these verses of Scripture, we've studied them down to the 11th verse, and he said, "Who told thee what thou that thou wast naked?" Found guilty by their own confession here, as we look through these next verses of Scripture, because, and as we have already read, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And see, they always have had such a close, sweet, wonderful fellowship. Well, that fellowship is gone. That time is missing now because they are separated from God. And see, that's the reason that you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus to get back into fellowship with God. You are separated. We need to get back together. All right, let's look at the 10th verse. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Until this time, he did not recognize because there was no sin, no guilt, nothing. And so all of a sudden now he's naked and he's afraid. Two things that we have gained that we didn't have before when we were perfect. Because you see, there was no fear. Fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. Now we have fear. So all of a sudden, we have stepped right off away from the way of God, the will of God, the fellowship with God. We are separated, totally, completely separated from God. And so you need to see that that's your condition unless you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Now, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, do not accept that as a universal salvation. Jesus come, died for all. Yes, he did. But it's for those that come. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just because you were born that you're under this umbrella of salvation. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have here, as we look now at the 11th verse, and he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Who told thee that thou wast naked? And so he wants to know. And immediately we find that found guilt by their own confession, because I'm naked, I'm afraid. God asked them a very clear question, "Who told you that you were naked?" Now, God knew the how and the why. We know that God never changes, and God knows everything. He knew what they had done. He knew that Eve had taken it first. He knew that the serpent had beguiled her, and he knew then that Adam followed. He knew that, but he still asked the question, "Who told you that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" God wants to know. God requires. See, you see, God never changes. God then and God now requires confession. Requires confession. He asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Tell me. I want to know." He wants you to confess the sin. Not so that God would know, because you see, he already knows. But for the purpose of humbling ourselves before a mighty, righteous, perfect God. You see, God has never changed. He desires that today, that we come before him and turn to him with a broken heart, asking him to forgive us of our sins, asking that he would come and save us. Please, Lord Jesus, and he is faithful to do just that, to save us. But you see, it's never changed. "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" God asked. That was the question. The purpose of his question is so that we will humble ourselves to recognize our condition, our wicked condition. God then returns with his word. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? You see, God's word didn't change. God's word was the same. When God spoke that unto Adam the first time, it was clear. It was very clear what was spoken unto Adam. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 17, chapter 2. God doesn't change. God's word was true, and God's word will be carried out. So you see, because you're a sinner, I can promise you, I can guarantee that you are going to die, and you are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, totally and completely separated from God for eternity, if you neglect this free gift of salvation. Why do I teach the Word of God? Why do I tell you of the pictures of the Word of God that tell so clearly and portray, show us so clearly Jesus Christ? Because I want you to be saved. I don't ask you what your church name is. I don't ask you if you've been baptized. I don't ask you to come here to church. I ask you to come by faith to Jesus Christ, because God doesn't change. And God's word told, he told Adam, the day that you do that, you're going to die. If you do this, you're going to die. They were separated, dead, fear came in. He knew he was naked. The first words God had to Adam, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Verse 11. His word is true, and it doesn't change just because mankind had sinned. God didn't say, oh, that's okay now, I know you didn't mean to, let's start over again and we'll do it again. You see, that's what some people want you to believe, that God is such a loving, forgiving God that he would not send anyone to the lake of fire. He won't allow anybody to go to hell, because he loves us. He loved us so much, and his love is so great to us that he sent his only son, his only begotten son, that we might live. That's how he showed us his love. Don't depend on some works that you have, or some name that you have, or some church that you belong to that's going to save you. It's going to take you humbling yourselves, confessing your sin, and coming to Jesus Christ, and it started right here in verse 11. God said, who told you? I want you to confess it to me. God knew it, but he wanted to hear it. And then he brought forth immediately the command. Wherefore I command thee that thou shouldst not eat. It's clear. Sin's clear. God has set it before Adam clearly. The same question was asked of the woman. If we'll go over to the 13th verse, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You see, it was the same question was asked of the woman. The same question, because God desires the same response. He desires the response of confession. He wants us to confess our sin before him, turn to him, and come by faith believing in him. Nothing has changed. He asked Eve the same question that he asked Adam. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? He wanted her to confess her sin. Do you see that? God doesn't change. The woman said, and she comes with another response here, and sad to say, that's what we do today. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But God desires that we come confessing our sin, humbling ourselves before the living God. What have they done by eating of this forbidden fruit? They have offended a righteous God. God created Adam, created Eve. They have broken God's law. Eve is the first to entice another into sin. Eve was the first to sin and the first to entice another into sin. They've set themselves on the opposing side. Now God is not their God. God is not their friend. God is not one that they fellowship with in the garden. God now is their enemy. You see, they didn't just slip a little. They fell. Fell from the presence of God. We too, because of sin, are on the opposing side. To natural man, to you and me, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without coming by faith to Him, without that relationship, God is our enemy. We have turned from God's perfect way, from His perfect will, to the devil's way, and to the devil's will. It's very clear. It's very simple. We have forfeited God's blessing upon our lives because of sin. As we look at this scripture, we read the 11th verse. The 11th verse said, "And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." That's not a very clear confession, is it? It is a confession. I did eat. Yes, God, I did eat. But not till after he had blamed somebody. Isn't sin wonderful? Even when we're caught, even when it's right before us, we still try to blame somebody else for it. Confession? Yes, he did. The last three words of verse 12 says, "I did eat." But before that, he says, the woman. You know, and when we always have to blame somebody else for our problems, for our shortcomings. It's always something. You know, you always got to blame something or somebody. And you stop and think about that. Every time something goes wrong in your life, every time something goes wrong, whether it be at home, at church, at work, at play, wherever you're at, and something goes wrong, how many times do you immediately accept responsibility yourself? Or do you begin as quickly, which is immediately, to blame somebody else? Well, if the weather had been better, you know, if it hadn't rained so much, you know, if he hadn't done that, then I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have done that. There's always something and somebody we blame. You think about that every time you do that. Here it says the woman, but I want you to see too that Adam didn't stop with that. You look how low we go and how desperate we are to blame somebody else. And you look at the next part of this verse. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. God, it's your fault. You gave her to me. If you hadn't given her to me, this wouldn't have happened. You see what we do? Confession? Yes, I did eat. Did he pick up on the responsibility of himself to do it? No, you see, now he's a sinner. See, when he looked at what he had to do to redeem his bride, he was perfect. In total and complete fellowship with God, perfect. So, you see, he could make a perfect decision. But now, immediately, because sin has entered in, and we didn't just stumble a little, we didn't just move off course slightly, we reversed direction, and we fell. The woman that thou gavest me. He doesn't just blame the woman, he blames God. He is saying, if you hadn't given her to me, if you hadn't given Eve to me, I wouldn't have sinned. Who is man to follow his wife or to follow God? Is man to follow his wife or God? Now, you may have that same question if you're saved and you're a woman married and your husband isn't saved. Are you to follow your husband? You're to follow God first. Adam should follow God first, then his wife should be a completer. Remember what we had talked about earlier here? As we looked at a scripture verse here, see if I can, not a scripture verse, just a statement I made. When the woman stops being a completer, and she started to be a conniver. And that's what happened when Eve ate of the fruit. She was not obedient to her husband, not obedient to God. Adam was perfect. Eve was perfect. But instead of listening to her husband and following him as he was following God, and that's the way it should be, wonderful today. You follow, wife, you follow your husband so that the children can follow you and your husband as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope your husband's saved. I hope you're saved. I hope your children are saved. But that's the way it works. The husband needs to be saved. The husband needs to be the spiritual leader. The husband needs to be bringing the children and his family to church, to the house of God. They need to see him as he reads the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit tugs on his heart as he studies the Word of God with others. As he makes the decisions to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. Wife, you surrender to your husband. Now, what happens when the husband isn't saved? You surrender unto God first, then to your husband. Hopefully, your husband's saved, and by you surrendering to your husband, you are surrendering to God because it's the same course. But being sin in the world as it is, many cases, many times, that's not true. But the woman stopped being a completer, and she started being a conniver when she trusted in the serpent, followed the serpent, did not follow her husband. We look now again as we see these verses of Scripture. Man is to follow God. Wife, you are to be a completer of the husband. Help him, complete him. And again, hopefully, prayerfully, your husband is saved and you can follow him as he follows God. If he is not saved, you follow the Word of God first and then follow him. Hopefully, by your testimony, your quiet, sweet testimony, you will win your husband over to the Lord Jesus. Husbands, if your wives aren't saved, if they're not surrendering to you in any, by any way, you pray for them. You live a godly life, asking the Lord to convict their heart of their sin, that they may come to you and come to him, the Lord Jesus, be saved, and then surrender to you, that she will have the joys of living the Christian life that she should have, that you can have as a husband, joys of living the Christian life that you should have, the blessings of God. You see, the blessings are gone here with Adam and Eve. Doesn't that sound like us? The woman that you gave me. It seems as if we are not to blame. We don't want to take responsibility. It seems if we can pin the blame on somebody else, it kind of has the appearance that maybe we're not sinners at all. We are sinners. We're guilty of sin. We need the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He forgives us of our sin. He takes all of our sin away. But I still, you see, live in the flesh, so I still continue to sin. So I still need and do ask Him for forgiveness, that our fellowship will continue. Because you see, when I sin, the fellowship is gone. And so I need to come to Him asking for forgiveness, confessing my sin, asking for forgiveness, so that I may have fellowship with Him. I have my salvation. Jesus Christ bought and paid for me on Calvary the day I confessed my sin and turned to Him and asked Him to come into my heart and to save me. That day, that was the day He saved me, and He has kept me ever since. No matter what I do, what I say, where I go, He keeps me, and He will see. I'm sealed, I am kept, and I will be kept through eternity by Him, Jesus Christ. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Please that you come to the Lord Jesus and enjoy that precious, sweet walk. Sounds like us, doesn't it? Eve had much the same response. Verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? See once again. He wants the confession. He wants us to confess before Him. What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And we could probably add to the words there, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The serpent that you gave me that came into the garden. You allowed him into the garden. You see, that's what we do. We don't take on responsibility for our actions. We always try to blame somebody else. We are cheated, and it's our own doing, of the blessings of God. Eve, same question. What is this that thou hast done? Confess your sin before me. That's where we do. That's where it starts. That's where the work of redemption begins, is confession. Confess unto me. Turn unto me. And then He is faithful to save us. Now, the serpent beguiled me. Again, she did much the same way as what Adam did concerning his blaming of Eve for what had happened. Because we believe the one who speaks words of temptation, and those words are so smooth that we believe him, we believe Satan, and we neglect to believe God. He is a roaring lion. God is truth. Romans 7:11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 7, verse 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Took occasion and deceived me. That's what happens to us. Satan is a roaring lion. Hebrews 3:13. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. I exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Satan comes as a roaring lion. But he also comes as a beautiful creature, as he did to Eve. I think sometimes if he would come in such an open, clear enemy to us, that we wouldn't be deceived by it so quickly. Instead of that, he comes all dressed in fancy clothes and fancy speech. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We need to walk after him each and every day. Confession is the start. Will you confess today your sin and come to Jesus? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?